We pray that today's service will enrich your understanding of Scripture and strengthen your walk with Jesus Christ. Now let's listen as Dad shares the events of the night before Jesus went to the cross in his sermon titled, Night of Agony. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy when the weekends come and we can get together. And I can just envision some of you way off around the world, all over the world. But we're all drawn together with this wonderful time of worship when we get together. And we can pray for each other, and we kind of talk about the things of the Lord. And we can bring people into the kingdom. And oh, it's just a wonderful time. So I just want to thank all of you for joining us and being with us. And today we're going to be thinking about the night of agony because we're coming into the Easter season. And so we're going to see how the Lord agonized in the Garden of Eden, but Garden of Gethsemane. But before that, I want to read some of the letters that we get. And we just hear from so many of you. And we thank you for writing. And we thank you supporting this work because we had to pay our way like anybody else. And so we just have so many wonderful people helping us now for over 40 years. We've carried the gospel all around the world. We get a letter from Morton, Illinois, and it says, I just again want to say thank you for being there all of these years. And in 2012, after watching your program, I'd rededicated my life back to the Lord Jesus. It's amazing to know that Jesus saves us, but he also loves us and desires our friendship and our fellowship. Thank you again for being there. And so here's a person that has drifted away from the Lord. And that's easy to happen. We become lukewarm. When we first started with the Lord, we're all excited and everything. And then we get busy or somebody offends us or we get something hurt or something and are disappointed. Maybe the Lord doesn't answer our prayer the way we want. And so then we just kind of back off. And sometimes we can slip away from the Lord and not realize it. Now, that doesn't mean you lose your salvation. You'll never lose your salvation if you accept the Jesus. But you lose that fellowship and the friendship of being together. Take, for instance, the story of the prodigal son. And here he is with the father, and he goes off and spends all of his inheritance money. And then he comes back, and he's been in sin, and he comes back. And he's always been his son. Even when he was in the pig pen, he was his son. But the fellowship was broken. And so when we accept Jesus, we become his child forever. But our fellowship can be broken. And when we get into sin, maybe we get angry at somebody. Maybe we're jealous at somebody. And then that wonderful fellowship is broken. And then we go back to Jesus. And we have a song that says, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. And then it says a prodigal son coming home, and the father receives him. And so here's somebody here that they've come back. They rededicated their life to the Lord. And I just hope that maybe if you drifted, didn't even realize it, you can rededicate your life to Christ today during our service. Here's Camden, Missouri. Would you please send us 25 copies of the Watch Me Grow pamphlet? Thank you so very much. And the Watch Me Grow pamphlet is a beautiful 12-page booklet, and it has pictures of the first 9 months, first year of living for that baby. And it shows how the life begins at conception. At that conception, you have your what sex you're going to be. And you also have your DNA at your conception. And so when we accept that, when we have abortion, we take that little baby and we kill it. We put it to death. And that's a terrible, terrible, wicked sin. Because God gave the life, and when we tell, and God gives life, and God has the right to take life. And this little one is made in the image of God. And when you kill that little child, that little baby, then you're striking at God. You're hitting at God and resisting God. And so we have a beautiful little pamphlet to send out, a little booklet. We send it free and postpaid. So you get your pencil and paper. I'll give you the address at the close of the service. And we'll send it free and postpaid. and it can help you. Maybe you can help somebody who's thinking about an abortion and they'll change their mind. They'll never regret it if they save that life. Here's a letter from Fouquet Vavarina, North Carolina. And it says, I'm blessed by seeing Pastor Salem's teachings. I'm disabled with PTSD, have limited funds. I'm happy to make an offering, but unable to this moment. May I ask for your kindness in sending me a DVD copy of The Heart of a Shepherd? I further ask for prayers of healing and faithful wisdom. Thank you in advance, my brother. And so here's a dear brother. He's a disabled, and he'd like to have the film, The Heart of a Shepherd. That's an hour film, and it tells how to accept Jesus. It tells of a 10-year-old boy accepted Jesus, and how he became a pastor. And we'll send it free and postpaid. And we'll send it on a free will offering basis. If you can pay something, that's fine. If you can't, that's fine too, but we'd like to have you have it. And you maybe can show it to somebody, and they'll come to know Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And then one more that I want to read, and that's from London, England. And this is a pastor. He says, I got introduced to Christian Worship Hour through friends in Pierce, South Dakota. Think of that. He was here visiting Pierce, South Dakota. They played your DVD, Heart of a Shepherd, while we were there with them and gave us a copy to bring back to England. Now I'm subscribed to your YouTube channel. I particularly like the talk on small churches. I lead a small church in England, have the same issues that exists over here. You do a great job. So thankful for your ministry. God bless you. And so here we're so happy that here's a brother came to visit and he took that back and he showed it. And he says, we have some of the same problems here that you do over there. And the reason for that is that we're all part of the human family. We have the same parents, Adam and Eve. And so there's a lot of the problems are just the same. Maybe just a little bit different, but they're all the same. When we drift away from the Lord, and we can come back and find everlasting life. And that's what our sermon is about today. It's about the agony and how the night of agony. And we're coming close to Good Friday now, and we're coming to Easter. And so we want to think about this time when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he took his disciples with him and he prayed. And it's a wonderful story, and because it's a sad story, but it's a wonderful story because it shows that God loves us, how much Jesus cares for us. And for that, we give great thanks and appreciation. And it says that he was being in an agony, Luke writes, and he says, being in an agony. And sometimes we're in agonies. We don't have an intense, terrible thing that Jesus had, but we have our troubles and our trials. And so we need to have help and gift from God. Jesus told us in this world, you'll have tribulations. Be of good cheer, he said. I've overcome the world. So the world, the problems are going to be there, and the world is going to be there, and we're going to have to face things. But this wonderful Lord Jesus is always there to help us and give us the victory. And so Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going to pray. And he goes, and the people go, and his disciples go with him. They just had the upper room. You remember this story, the upper room, and how they had Pentecost, first of all. Then they went to the upper room, and they had their time of prayer, and they ended on praying and singing. And then Jesus prays for them. They have that wonderful intercessory prayer, the longest prayer that Jesus prayed in the Bible, in John 17. And he prayed for his people. He prayed for those who would follow him, trust him. And so we have people all over the world who love the Lord and following the Lord, but they're having some hard times and real times of testing. And so Jesus comes to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. He comes and there are eight of them with him. There's Andrew and Bartholomew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Matthew, Philip, Simon the Zealot, Thaddeus, and Thomas. But Judas, where's Judas? Well, Judas isn't with them. He's with the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes. And he's just got his 30 pieces of silver. And he's going to identify Jesus because they want to arrest him and put him to death. And they did eventually. And so while they're in the garden praying and Jesus agonizing, Judas is getting he's made his deal. And the deal is, he says, now what I'll do is, when we get there, he has his disciples with him and all. But he says, I'll mark him out. I'll show you who Jesus is. How will you do that? Will you point at him? No, I won't point at him. I'll go up and I'll give him a kiss. And when I give him the kiss, then you'll know that's Jesus. That's Judas. He must have been filled with the devil to do a terrible thing like that. Betray Jesus, nothing but good and nothing but love. And he did it with a kiss. And so it takes place. And so they're in the garden there and they're praying. Well, you still don't have all of them. You only have 11 with that. And so you're three more. Where are the other three? Well, then when you read the story, you find out the other three in a different little place where they're going to be praying for Jesus. Peter, James, and John. They were just picked by Jesus. They were just kind of special people to him. They just seemed like they maybe understood Jesus more, was with him or something. And well, you remember when the ruler came to Jesus and his daughter, little Jairus, is dead. And 12 years old, and she's dead. And so when Jesus goes, and he goes into the death chamber, goes into that room, he takes Peter, James, and John with him, and he raises her from the dead. Her spirit returns to her body, and she's living and restored to her dad and her parents. Or when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus is there, and the glory of God shines through him to a point, and he just glistened. He was just beautiful. And the three men he took with him, Peter, James, and John. So now Jesus is going to again Gethsemane, and he's going to sleep, and he's gone into the end of under those olive trees. I've seen them. Some of them are 100 years, 200 years old, and they go, and he's under one of those trees, and he's praying. And then he comes back to the three disciples, and he's asked Peter, James, and John, now you pray for me. My heart is heavy because Jesus is going to agonize. He's going to be in agony. He's going to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, because at this time he's going through that agonizing time and drinking that cup. He says to the Father, oh, take this cup from me if you possibly can, but if you don't, then I'll drink that cup. I'll take all of it. And he did. Praise the Lord. So Jesus prays, and then he comes back and he finds them asleep, and he wakes them up and he says, sleep, wake up and pray with me. My heart is heavy and I need you to stand by and pray with me and pray for me. And so then he goes back, and then a little while he comes again, and here he is, here they are, they're asleep again. And he talks to them and he says, watch and pray. He says, couldn't you pray just even 1 hour? And pray that you don't enter into temptation, but pray for me and pray for yourselves and pray for this wonderful movement, this kingdom of God that I'm going to build. And then he goes and he prays. And then Jesus prays and he prays, oh, my Father, if this cup may pass not away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And Jesus is saying to the Heavenly Father, oh, if there's any possible way that we can do this without drinking this cup, if I can get around this thing, then let's do that. But if not, thy will be done. And dear friends, that's the way we ought to pray all the time. We ought to pray that God's will might be done. Always pray that God's will is done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And sometimes we pray, and for instance, we might pray for healing for someone, and we just so want them to be healed. But when we're done with that pray, we always pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We always want God's will to be done because God knows the best and he knows what's right. And we say that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And so all of these things, they may be evil things and hard things and bitter things, but we just give them to the Lord and we pray the Lord's will to be done. So he prays for them. He prays to the Father. And then he comes back. And there they are, the three disciples, sound asleep. And then Jesus says, behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And so this dear Lord Jesus He has to have them sleeping and on the job. They're not standing by, not helping him. And so they come and they go. And then we read that Jesus is praying. And it says he prayed in agony. And we wonder, well, what does that mean? Why did he pray in agony? And so some people say, well, he prayed in agony because he knew he was going to be nailed to the cross. He knew that was the worst possible way of a capital punishment. There isn't a civilized country in the world that uses crucifixion. And the Jews' matter of crucifixion was by stoning. And so he knew that that would be a long death. There'd be a time of suffering on the cross. And so he's frightened for it. And he doesn't want to go to it. But that's not the truth. That's not the way. Because we know we have martyrs. And we are so happy on the Christian Worship Hour to know that some of the martyrs and martyr church in parts of the world will worship with us on every weekend. Because we are on shortwave radio, and we reach 95% of the world's population. And so as we worship today, we have the persecuted church worshiping with us. And when you see them, they are standing strong for the Lord. And some of them stand as they die. They'll say in Arabic, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God. And they give their life. And they don't back off from it at all. And so Jesus wasn't a coward. He wasn't that way. That wasn't the reason he was agonizing in the garden. And so then others will say, well, he was there because he didn't want all the terrible disgrace and the agony of it all. And he couldn't face the disgrace of it. But in Isaiah 53, we have how that they turned their face from Jesus and how that they wouldn't have any part of him. And they put him away. So he knew he was going through that. That couldn't possibly be the reason. Why would that possibly be? And so then we can say, oh, yes, now I know why. It is because Jesus knoweth that he was going to the cross. When he went from the Garden of Gethsemane, he'd go to Pilate. And he'd gone through all the indignities and terrible things there. And it went up, he'd be nailed to the cross. But he had to go to the cross and pay for our sins if he was ever to redeem us. And so Jesus there is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He has never had a sin in his life. He has never by thought, word, or deed had a sin. In all of time, eternity past, and all eternity yet to come, there's never been a time that he had a single sin. That holy, sinless, spotless, precious Son of God is going to take the sins of the world, all of the wicked, evil, terrible, awful sins of the world for all time, for all people. And he's going to take them into his holy body. And that's why it was he sweat as it was great drops of blood. And he agonized in that garden. Not because he was afraid, because we're told in the book of Hebrews that the writer of Hebrews says that he who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross. He rejoiced that he could go to the cross and take your sins and my sins and pay for our sins with his own blood, because only by the washing of only by the blood of Christ can the sins be washed away. And don't you see that beautiful picture of Jesus? There he is. The agony is taking the sins of the world. And then we're told that an angel came and ministered unto him. And I've often wondered, I wonder if that's Gabriel. Because Gabriel is the one who came to Mary and said that you're going to have a Savior. You're going to be the mother of a Messiah. Maybe it was, but I don't know. I know it was an angel that came. And you know something? We're told in the scriptures that God gives his angels to watch over us, to help us. And when we accept Jesus, he gives us an angel to care for us. You know, in the Psalms, in the 23rd Psalm, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then it goes on and it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And somebody else was writing about that. And they said, mercy, goodness and mercy are two angels. And God is saying, when you accept Jesus, you become a child of God. He's telling those angels, sure, goodness and mercy, you follow this person as long as they live. Wherever they go, you dog their tracks and you be with them. Goodness and mercy, the angels of God to watch over us. Oh, how wonderful it is. And so then Jesus, when he goes to that cross, he takes that all of the sins of the world and dies on that cross. And when he died on that cross, he paid for your sins and my sins. And sometimes I have people say, oh, I have such terrible sins. I know God would never forgive me. There's no way that he'd ever take me in. I knew it was wrong when I did it. I didn't do it in ignorance. I did it in light. I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway. Oh, God, he'll never have me. You know, I think that's the way Peter felt when he denied Jesus. You remember Jesus said, Peter says, I'll die for you, Jesus. And Jesus says, oh, Peter, you don't know your own heart. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And sure enough, when he was warming his hands, you know, they were in the palace, and Jesus is at trial. And a little maid came and pointed a little bony old little old finger at him and said, you are one of them. You're one of those Galileans with Jesus. And Peter denied him. You know the story. Three times he denied him. He denied him the last time with cursing and saying, I know not the man. And then he says, I go a fishing. And what Peter was saying is, Peter was a fisherman by profession. That was his profession. And so I'm going back to my old ways. I'm going back to fishing because I denied Jesus and he'll have no part with me. I blew it. I had my chance and he warned me, but I denied him. And Jesus will never have me. There's some people like that. I've talked to them. I've been preaching now 75 years. And I've had them more than once say, oh, he'd never take me. And that's what Peter's saying. So then look what happened. Jesus is buried in the tomb. The third day he rises. And Mary goes. Mary Magdalene and Salome. And they go to the and Jesus says to the women, you go and tell them I'm alive. You tell my disciples and Peter. That's what Jesus said. He singled him out. He knew his heart was broken. And Jesus says, you go and tell Peter. Tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive. And I want to meet with them on the Sea of Galilee. And that's what he did. And there he was. And Peter came. And Jesus recommissioned him. And Peter served Jesus the rest of his life until he went to the cross. And they say that when Peter was crucified, he was crucified head down. Because he says, I don't want to be, don't dare. I'm not worthy to be compared even in the way that Jesus was crucified. I want to be crucified head down. I'm not worthy to die that kind of death. And he gave his life for the Lord. Those of you in the persecuted church can take heart. Peter led the way. And he was gladly died for the Lord. And then I know that many of you are too. And we always pray for the persecuted church. And we're better Christians. We're challenged to live the Christian life because the way you live it. And Peter came back. And Jesus says, I'm recommissioning you. Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord. And it's like the prodigal son. And when he came back, his father put his arms around him, took him back. My son, and received him because he repented of his sins and he was taken and made clean and walked with his father. That fellowship was restored. And so today, maybe God is talking to your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I'll come into your heart. I'll come into your life. I'll take away your sins. And so you can ask him in. You say, well, I don't know how to ask him. And I'll tell you what you do. I was 10 years old when I made that prayer. And you just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. That is, I'll turn from my evil ways, my bad ways. I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now you're going to walk like Jesus, and he's our model. But you're going to make mistakes because nobody's perfect. and then you ask him to forgive you, and you go on. So if you want to do that, and if you want some literature, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you can send a gift to help us, we need to have your help to carry along. And we're underwritten by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so it's all on the level. If you'd like to have our little Bible study, just ask for the new song. If you'd like to have the film, mark that down. We'd love to hear from you. Now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all the multitudes that have opened their heart to you. They're starting that new life and walking with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm praying for the children today, the little children, that they'll trust you, and the young people, that they'll follow you and work with you, do your work. Pray for the shut-ins and the lonely and the elderly. We pray for all of your people everywhere, and we pray for the poor lost sinners. They'll come to Jesus. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, let me tell you where to write if you want the film or whatever you need. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can actually send a gift over the Christian Worship Hour or send us a note. We'd love to hear from you. And so you have a good week. And next week we will be back. We'll be worshiping Jesus. And maybe this week he'll come back to the earth and take us back to be with him. I don't know. But we're going to work for the Lord until he comes. And as I go off, I want to tell you this. I want to tell you that God loves you. And he proved that love. He gave his son, his only begotten son. He gave everything that heaven had, the most meaningful thing in heaven. They never had a break in their fellowship from eternity past, eternity future. They'll never have a break. But they had a break when he was on the cross carrying our sins. God turned his back on his son. And he did it because he loves you. You. He could see your face. And so you answer that love and say, oh, yes, come to Jesus. And we have a team of the Christian Worship Hour. And most of them all give their time free to carry this work on. And they do it because they love you. And I want to tell you, I sure love you. And I just wish I could tell you in a better way. But you got the message. God's Holy Spirit will apply it to you. You'll understand it. So come to Jesus. Bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.